All right, so welcome to the final call today. Unfortunately, or fortunately as it may be, more than ending, I view this as very much a beginning, as I do pretty much every single day of my life, because each day we kind of have a choice which path to go down in terms of this living in our power or not. And there is a lot of resistance pulling us down one path in our current reality, you know, versus the other. So it's kind of I think the wrong word is struggle. The right word is it's a daily decision that each of us gets to make about which path we're going to walk down. I have just a few things to cover today, what I call power recipes. And then we'll have plenty of time for questions if there are any. So just a few general things first before I walk through some of these little recipes that I've come up with, hopefully to help you as you go forward from here. I think one thing to remember as kind of an overview principle that encapsulates everything we've covered so far is that this path forward is not really about like fixing you. It's not about fixing the old or the way things are. It's simply about building something as you would like it to be and allowing that old thing to fall away. So just some ideas to take forward with you and maybe get in the habit of thinking so that they're more than just thoughts over time are things like, giving up the idea that like you are broken in some way. It's a very disempowering kind of thing, but everywhere we look in our society, that's kind of the message. Like we have weaknesses, we have to shore them up, we have to work on them, we have to get better. And being through what we've been through here the last couple of weeks, hopefully you can begin to see how those thought forms are in fact, by you accepting those, you are literally separating from your power, like right from that point, immediately. So everything else that comes after is either you trying to get it back or you suffering because you gave it away. And it all kind of relies on this, what is really a lie at its core, that we should somehow be other than we are right now. Thinking you need to be better just kind of introduces more separation and allows you really, what you're doing is feeding that thought form like we discussed last week. You're feeding it with more energy. And so, like in the work that my wife does in the birth world, she is, you could say she's up against the powers that be who are very strong and very forceful. And you could view it that way. Viewing it that way tends to lead you into a life of battle. And all you really end up doing is fortifying that construct over time because you're feeding it an enormous amount of energy. Same with our work with clients. What we give our attention to grows. So if you perceive your work with clients as like you're kind of at war with them, which I certainly did for a long time, that's a little bit what you get, right? You're feeding that reality, you're feeding that thought form with your energy. So step number one to quote unquote curing yourself here of this giving your power away thing is to give up the idea that you need to cure yourself. I think that leads you in a not helpful direction. So this means, and it's kind of a new training to install in your own life, that when you go around thinking or saying like, I should do this, or I should be that, or I know I do this, but, or I really wish I would stop blank. All of those things I think are leading us down the path to only fortifying our already strong habit of giving our power away, because they all do it right at that moment of accepting that premise. You should be other than you are. That's where you lost already. So the fact is, we're right here. We are as we are at this moment. And if we can stand fully in that, even as we move through the world, that is power right there. Okay? So that's just kind of an overarching summary of 4 weeks in like 2.5 minutes. Or in my case, like 12 years of struggle in like 2.5 minutes. If someone could have sat me down and said, just work on this, it wouldn't have made it any easier. I wouldn't have felt so lost probably a lot of the time. So when I say that we are going to build the new and let the old fall away, that's exactly what this transformational process is going to be like. You're not going to wake up today and say, or tomorrow and say, I'm going to work on this and I'm going to work on this and I'm going to improve this. You are simply going to wake up tomorrow exhibiting the behavior of that person in that mental movie that we are getting in the habit of building. That is who you are. And you go out there and be that in that moment. So you could consider this a type of re-dreaming, right? The jury's still out on whether or not we're actually here, whether when we go to sleep we're dreaming, or whether we're dreaming right now. Like, who really knows, right? But we do have this amazing power to, as we've discussed, take thought, feeling, and eventually like mold it into the reality that we see. So we are using this mental movie, right, to set intentions that are far deeper than our conscious mind, and we go out and be that then, starting tomorrow or today or right now. So some people turned in homework from last time, where I simply asked for you to highlight for me some of the big trigger areas where you find yourself giving your power away over and over again. And my hunch is that if everyone had done that, we would find a lot of similarities. Two questions, just to kind of put in your bag that questions aren't answers, but they can lead to answers. One question that you might start asking yourself, and then just sit there and pay attention in the minutes, you know, days and weeks following asking these types of questions, and see where the answer will come, because most likely it will. So question number one that you might start asking yourself is, what is more important to me in my life than what others think? Now, for a long time, I had my answer was nothing, because I hadn't yet come back to myself, really, to reconnect with that being that, you know, I was so clear about when I was 4, 5, 6 years old. I wasn't aligned. And so if someone had asked me this question, what's more important to me than what others think of me, I would have had no answer. Today I do have an answer. And I feed that answer with energy all the time. Every day I write the emails. Every day I'm thinking about this. Every day I live this. Every day I try to not teach this to my kids, but show them through example that this is how I'm going to be. And so over time, I have something that is way more important to me than what others think. And that is actually being me, right? And helping others be them. To me, that's why I'm here. And I may be only, compared to other individuals, a half a step farther in my journey, or I may be like 4 miles farther in my journey. It doesn't matter. I can still turn around and be helpful to the people that are walking, you know, on their part of the journey a little ways back. So ask yourself that question and see what answers you have at the moment. When you have an answer and when you feed it, it will grow, right? Things that you give focus and attention tend to grow. And over time, it will dwarf the size of what others think. And so that to me is one tiny little, I wouldn't even call it a mind trick. I mean, it is a practice that will over time allow the new to completely starve the old. And it will fall away. And you'll wake up one day and realize, oh my gosh, I really don't care what anybody thinks, because I know I'm going this way. And that's an an enormously freeing feeling. To me, it's not like a once and done thing. It hasn't been my experience. Like I said, it's a daily decision, but it gets way easier. Number two, there was some homework that came in talking about general challenges with accepting great things, like coming into your life through work or whatever. I mean, I told you my own story that for years I could not receive a compliment really without deflecting it. And that was, I mean, it was like someone was shining this spotlight right in my eyes and I had to look away. A terrible thing to do to yourself, but that is oftentimes a challenge for people. And if you're good at what you do, this is going to be a problem because you will consistently create a reason for people to praise you in one way or another. And if you can't receive that, weird energetic things happen, not to mention you'll probably be miserable. So the second just general question to start asking yourself is, what type of steward are you being on a daily basis if you go through life expressing either internally or externally a complete lack of gratitude for everything that is around you? We talked about that in one of the past sessions. Just that idea of gratitude creates instantly that feeling of wholeness, which is the feeling of standing in your power. It's all kind of the same. And it's kind of a way to shortcut and get that feeling since you can't really think yourself there. Okay, so those are just two questions to start asking yourself in the mirror, out loud, and then listen. So I came up with, and these are simple, four what I call power recipes. I went through the homework, just pulled out some challenges, and then wrote out just some simple recommendations for how I might deal with the situation. So, number one, not feeling valuable, which is a pretty common situation. And not feeling valuable means you don't feel whole, right? Which means you are missing something, which is, on one level, giving your power away to something outside yourself, and you're hoping it shows up so that you can again feel whole, right? So, if that's something that you're dealing with ever, here are some things that I would suggest. First of all, sit down and ask yourself which part of you is actually the one that's saying this. We talked another time about the parts of you and how we basically separated from ourselves, right? We have that eternal, that awareness part of us, and then we have that annoying voice in our head that narrates our entire life, right? It's all us, but those two parts of us behave very differently, and some are meant to be in control, and others are meant to not be in control. And if you get that backwards, it can be really terrible. So chances are the part that is saying that you're not feeling valuable is that voice, right? Is that monkey talk or ego or whatever you want to call it, right? It's a terrible it knows all of our weaknesses. It has impeccable timing to exploit them, and it's very well practiced. So if that's the voice that's saying this to you, then one principle in martial arts is it's not always the smartest thing to meet force with force. Oftentimes, you take the force as it's coming into you and you use it, right? And so you actually end up going the same way as it, at least for a brief time. So, what if that voice is actually telling the truth, right? However, I'm going to kind of turn it back on itself and say, it is telling the truth about itself. It is not really adding a lot of value to the situation in this moment. It spends most of its time trying to tear you down. And when I mean you, which you am I talking about again? I think this is really important to begin to feel this separation between these parts of you that are whole and the ones are not that are not. So for most of us, this you're not worth it. You have no value, you will never be amount to much of anything. It's that tiny, stupid voice that is talking. And if we just accept that, hey, okay, You're saying that. I'm going to say you're saying that about you. That's exactly correct. We'll just let you go do that on your own. And me, the big me, is going to go do something else. And what the big me is going to do is give up on the idea that you need to feel valuable. Period. Instead, because that just takes you back into the voice, because the voice is a quantification machine. It's a measurement machine. It's a comparison machine. And if you go to it for answers, you will not get good answers that are helpful or expansive. They will cause you to shrink or be fearful or all manner of terrible things. So instead, we let it do what it's going to do. We don't even try to change it, right? Because just directing our energy to that just feeds it and it makes it stronger. You can see this principle showing up over and over again. We're just going to let it burn itself out. And instead, we're going to focus on two different things, gratitude and service. That's the habit. The habit is when you feel that, when you hear that voice, just like in yoga, right? When you're trying, or meditation, when a thought comes through, you let it go and then you come back. You come back to the moment. And so you're going to bring your focus back to gratitude, the feeling of wholeness, and then you're going to go look for ways to serve, right? And what this ultimately does is it gives you control over things you control. Do you control how you feel? Not usually. Maybe you can work on it, but generally not. So what you do control is how deeply you feel, right? How good you are at feeling. As Michael Brown said, the purpose isn't to feel good here, it's to get, or to feel better, it's to get better at feeling. Totally different. You just feel what is, and then you recenter on the gratitude and the service, and you go about your work. And this works in personal life, this works in client work, everything, particularly in those client situations where you screwed something up and you, for a minute, like leave your body and your world's about to end. And this is how you come back. How can you, when the reality shows you or gives proof to your little stupid voice how not valuable you are because you screwed up X, Y, or Z, how do you recover from that? This is the process that I would use. All right, recipe number two is for people pleasing at the expense of yourself, and something to think about for people who can't say no. Man, I'm the poster child for all of these, but we'll just continue anyway. Okay. First thing to ask yourself about this, and there are two stages to this in my experience. There's when you do this unconsciously, you're not aware that people pleasing is running your life. And then the second stage is when you are aware of it and you do it anyway. Which is way more frustrating. You know you're doing it. You know you're going to do it because the alternative, you just can't face it at the moment. So, the first question to ask yourself, if you find yourself doing things just to please others at the expense of yourself, is what am I getting from this? And again, I'm not here to give you that answer. I'm here to recommend that you ask the question. Because we humans are pretty smart beings in that we do things that we feel are going to serve us. That doesn't always make sense from the outside looking in, but if you were really to bare your soul, and be honest, 100% completely honest with yourself, I think there would be a reason. What are you getting from this? Are you getting, well, I don't need to deal with confrontation? Are you getting, well, I get to tell the story that I'm a martyr? I get to have a place now to put all of my unresolved anger. I have a focus. I have somebody whose head I want to chop off now. It gives me that target. What are you getting from this? The second thing to consider is another Michael Brown suggestion. I forget what he calls it. It's kind of like the opposite golden rule, the opposite of the golden rule. So the golden rule is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Or something like that. And if you flip it around and say, do unto yourself as you would do unto others, it's a very unique thought. But considering that most of us treat perfect strangers better than we treat ourselves, it provides an interesting mirror onto our life pretty quickly. Is there a reason that you shouldn't be doing unto yourself as you would do unto others? What does that feel like if you imagine that? If you put that into your mental movie, it's going to create an emotional something. You'll feel what that feels like. And if you've never done this before, it'll either freak you out or it's going to be the best feeling in the world that for once you would be able to do unto yourself as you currently spend your time doing unto others. Think about how you treat strangers. Think about how you treat yourself. And ask, hey, maybe it's time that I equal this up. So these are just thoughts to go to when you find yourself in these situations. And in my experience, generally, just like one of these little shifts in perspective will snap you out of it and give you that second of separation to make a new decision. I'm going to take my power back now. Not that you need to like blab this to the whole world or pull out your megaphone. It's an internal shift. And it might take a long time at first. It'll get quicker. It'll get quicker. It'll get easier, less resistance until you find yourself more time than ever spending, going through your reality in that space. All right, next is the not charging enough situation. We have all been there. Kind of like a fish in water thing, right? The fish are always the last to know. I kind of find that you are always the last to know, or we are always the last to realize how valuable we are, right? But again, you can't sit down and tell yourself to feel valuable. And I think the energetic reason is, again, all we're doing is focusing our energy on the lack, and that grows. We are focusing our energy on that thought form. And it just creates resistance and builds and gets stronger and becomes more real. So we don't control that, right? We don't control how worthy we feel at this moment. What we do control is how well we are serving others. Again, right? Plus, serving others tends to create the proof that you need to understand just how valuable you are. So I would say if you're dealing with not charging enough, not valuing yourself, instead of trying to solve the problem, I would go through life in a way that tends to solve the problem. Go through life and business in a way that tends to create the things that you need that will resolve this. Okay? And this whole like flipping things upside down is often very helpful. So you get a client project, you're like, man, what is this going to be worth to them? What should I charge? Or what's my hourly rate? Or all that kind of stuff. What's it worth to somebody to have me do this? And that is a very disempowering type of a question. Especially if you're in this incomparable expert frame of mind, because we are literally doing the work required to transcend the normal market dynamic, which is that if they don't get it from you, they can go somewhere else. Well, there is nowhere else to get you, right? So we're kind of taking a very high road to engineer a situation like that. So to then ask, well, what is this worth to them? It creates a very odd feeling internally. What if you flipped it around and said, what is this worth to me to give up a portion of my life to engage in? That you come up with a very different answer. Much like last week, we had the question about how to set fees, and I've tried kind of all the silly systems and the rationales for this and that, and value perception and whatever, and benefit. All that kind of thinking, and at the end of the day, it's just how much do I want for it? Period. Way simpler, not emotional at all. How much do I want for it? So this is kind of the same thing. It forces you to look at your life, and really look at this work in terms of the reality that it represents, which is you are dedicating life force to a specific thing and to the exclusion of being able to aim it at other things. What is that worth to you to do that? Because that's what you should ask for. Just a completely different way to think about it. If you're not charging enough, another kind of simple way to get this out of the emotional, like going around in your mind, kind of in that darkness where there's no exit level, to a more practical level, is simply pick if you're going to be a bargain solution, a medium solution, a premium solution. Just choose one and then just go do that. That has nothing to do with feeling valuable. That has nothing to do with anything about your story. It's simply a choice that you're going to make, and then you are going to go do that. How best can I serve these people this way? And create that proof that you need to surround yourself with what is really, I mean, it is validation, but it's not like you're looking for it. It's that it is a byproduct of helping individuals. And pretty soon you wake up and you just see all this proof, and you're like, holy crap, I might actually know what I'm talking about. And then just for a brief moment, and I remember this moment. I don't know the day, but I remember the feeling. And it was only a few years ago where, for a second, and it started like that brief, I was like, oh my gosh, I am actually good at this. And then I kind of lost it for a little while. But for just that blink, I got to see or feel what it was like to look at me from the outside in. You know? And that really was the beginning of a major shift for me. Because it was a reorienting of my entire universe. I was not doing what I do to try to earn my keep. I could finally see that, wow, I'm the one that has this gold for certain individuals. And if they can't see that, that's okay. I don't even need to work to have them try to see it. It's really not that important. It's not for them at the moment. That is okay. But I can just sit here in that full knowing that what I have to the right people is beyond measure in value. And that was a big kind of moment that shifted around. But it only came from trying to help people. I never could have thought my way there, because this is not a function of thought. I never could have meditated myself there. Instead, I kind of reverse engineered my way there. And that's kind of what all this has been about these last few weeks. Okay, and finally, last item for that one, the not charging enough, is when you get used to being able to separate you, like the big you, like if you're sitting there listening to me now, your voice is probably saying something. I mean, that voice is probably going on in your mind. But then you could be aware that you're sitting in that chair, kind of look at yourself from up and behind yourself down, and you can see that voice in your mind. And that's like the real you back there, right? So when you, let's say you're pricing a project for a client, and you say, this usually happens so fast you're not even aware of all the steps, but like you know what you want to ask for, but you're afraid they'll say no, and so in like a blink you've like cut your fee in half or something like that, and then you finally arrive at a number that you feel comfortable asking for, right? All that happens so fast that you can't really follow the process of what's going on. But when you do some of these practices that we've been talking about, the energy stuff, the grounding and centering, and you begin to develop that separation between the big you and the little you, then you can move your awareness on demand to like that big you. And you can say to the little you, hey, looks like you're having a good time there. Go on, talk amongst yourselves, but you know, I'm just going to politely decline to entertain your opinion. And that is the habit to get into, to kind of begin to move the amounts up that you're charging until that amount fully represents what your dedication and commitment of life force is worth to you. I doubt you're ever going to read this in a business book, but really, I think it's a smart way through. The worst they're going to say is no, period. And generally, if you do everything else, build trust, credibility, positioning, everything that we talk about all day long, you just won't have the resistance. And because you no longer have the resistance internally, you won't recreate it on the outside. Okay, recipe number four, for people who simply at the moment do not respect themselves. These are all obviously very overlapping and kind of messy once you get down below the surface. So, Number one, if this is you, if you truly just don't believe that you have much to offer, or you constantly do things that lead you to that mode that I talked about early on, the I should be this, I wish I could be that, I have to get better at this. I think that the quickest way to start respecting yourself is to cold turkey, and this is a decision. This requires no work except like a split second decision and commitment to follow through. Is to stop immediately betraying your internal voice, which most of us do many times a day, unconsciously. But when you know you shouldn't, or you know you should, and you do the opposite, that to me, fixing that is the road back to developing, growing, and strengthening your respect in you, right? Because what you're really doing is proving to yourself, or you're showing yourself, that you can act in accordance with your will. That's all that it is. You actually have the guts to act in alignment with your deepest truth. Period. So if you can't, who would respect somebody? Would you respect somebody else who can't do that? Probably not. Would you respect somebody who day after day after day said, I'm going to do this, and then they don't do it? And you find out the reason they didn't do it is because they were scared, or they thought someone would not like it, or they thought they would be called out, or they thought they might get in trouble. But that's what we're doing, and I think that's why it is so easy to erode our respect in ourselves or never have it in the first place, because we simply haven't earned it from ourselves. And in fact, over the last 4 weeks, if I had one recommendation and you forgot everything else, it would be this one: the never again betray your internal voice for any reason. Because once you begin to be in alignment with that, the string of decisions that you start to piece together, where you actually act in accordance with your deepest truth or your will, that will create really a preponderance of proof over time that shows you that you're worthy of your own respect. If you want more respect, then you create more proof and you work harder at maintaining that alignment. All right. And then just one last one. Just something, again, that's especially been valuable to me in the client world. You might call it the ultimate recipe, for power, is to really, and this may or may not resonate with you, I don't know. I think I wouldn't have understood it probably a few years ago deeply enough, but I feel I'm at the point where this is now what I'm working on. And that is really to see past the illusion of polarity at all, right? To understand that me and us and them and me against this guy or me competing with that one, it's all kind of fake. And there is kind of no us and them, there's like we. And what we do to one, we do to all, and what we do to another, we do to ourselves. Like it's all, the truth is in there somewhere. This has been mentioned quite a few times by some pretty special people over the millennia. And I believe when you even begin to do this in the brief, in the smallest of ways, which is where I would say I am, your entire world opens up. Because I, from the beginning of this course, we've been talking about reclaiming your power by basically remembering you're whole already, right? And this would be like an arrow to the heart of the issue. If you can do the work, which is mainly begins as a mental reminder, oh, this is the case, oh, this is the case, oh, this is the case, that this separation between what's in you and what's out there kind of doesn't exist. And in fact, I think you could go far as to say as the world today is, it's really just the external projection of what we've got going on the inside. And if you look around, it's clear that we have a lot of work to do, right? But part of that work is closing that separation between in and out, between seen and unseen, and like bringing that together again and realizing that it's actually just one. And I don't mean this in any religious sense of the word at all. I mean, you can come at this totally from energetics, or you can go into the depths of religion, whatever you want to do. But, you know, this is kind of what I do on another level in my work every day. It's like I realized, wow, we're all these business people going out there dealing with other human beings. We're facing all these challenges that they're not business challenges. They're like human challenges. But you pick up a business book and it talks about business like it's this like box on the shelf, but it's not, especially for our type of businesses. You just can't separate it from the human. And when you bring all these things back together in one piece, now we can get somewhere because we see the picture more clearly for what it is. So with that said, like I said, I really kind of view this as a beginning. More than the ending here now that we're coming to the end of the session. But every day I view this as a beginning for me. I get to choose who I want to be tomorrow, and I get to choose if I want to stand in my power, even on the fringes where with the things I still struggle with and deal with, or not. And so, you know, I wish you the best of decision making. It truly is worth the work. And when you finally even develop the beginning of getting a handle on this, the effect that you will have on others just grows exponentially. So if for no other reason, endure the, you know, the challenge so that the impact you can make can be multiplied. I think that's worth it all by itself. All right. So I will open this up for questions here about anything we discussed today, about any of the previous sessions, about anything. So if you are on the phone, *2, and I will unmute you. If you are on the website, you can put a question in the box. I think the web call people are out of luck, unfortunately. You have a question box. That's right, depending where you're listening. All right. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Bashal. Hey, Bashal, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you?
Yep. Go ahead with your question.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for walking us through, and especially walking me through this Path to Power session. I mean, I remember 3 weeks back when I started off, I mean, I had so many different questions, especially about my emotions. And when I say emotion, I don't mean just, you know, emotion in terms of sadness, but I used to get so much angry and all that. And this grounding exercise, though I knew it from the Big Self Blueprint, now for the last 2 weeks,
yeah,
since the second session, I've been practicing it very consciously. And like, I'm seeing a big transformation in myself. And it is a practice. It's not a one-time event. I mean, I know I have to keep practicing, which is every single time there is a there is something that is happening which is not in my best interest in the I mean, I'm seeing automatically that grounding exercise thing is coming up into my mind. So I know it's happening. It's not that I'm closing my eyes and meditating in the moment, but I'm seeing what's happening at the same time. I mean, it's giving me such a sense of power, and that's amazing. So thank you for teaching everything that you've taught me so far in this program. My question to you is, you know, knowing what you know, and it's without getting specific here, I mean, all the people who are on the call today, including me, if this was the last con, imagine if I was your if I was your son, and if this was the last conversation we were having, and like if I had a whole life ahead of me to live in a very, very empowering way, and I want to live not just for a moment or a day or a month, but I want to live my whole life with the Path to Power, what would you suggest I do or I think as your final words?
I would say risk being yourself. It's worth it on every level.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Question. Mark, I'll get to your question in a second. Can you clarify a little bit about what you mean when you say the feeling comes up but fades very quickly? In what context are you talking about it? Okay, I'll come back to you in a second if you can clarify that for me. When are you going to send a written summary of this training? I can certainly make get a transcript made if that would be helpful for people. That would be totally fine. Let me just make a note before I forget. Cool. Thanks, John. Let's see. Other questions? Star 2 to raise your hand. Any comments on EFT? I haven't personally used EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, or whatever it stands for. The closest anecdotal evidence that I have is my wife, who finds that extremely helpful. And it makes, sense that I mean, much like acupuncture does, you're affecting meridians and energetic pathways in the body. So I haven't experimented with it myself because I went just kind of serendipitously went down the shamanic path of things. But from what I know, it's extremely helpful for some people. Let's see, other questions. All right, Mark. Let's see. Well, I'll take a stab at what you asked. You said the feeling comes up but fades very quickly, so I cannot really work with it. Any thoughts? I'm assuming that what you mean is in one of the sessions when I was talking about when you have a feeling or an emotion, you're to sit in it. Or maybe you're talking about, oh wait, something happens that triggers me. I sense the feeling. I start to think about being unconditional about it. But then the feeling fades and my mind wanders. I think it's okay that the feeling's fading. I think the point is that when something happens to trigger you, that you develop some sort of mechanism to give yourself a fighting chance to come back to yourself before running that reactive program. So, one thing that jumps out at me about what you're saying there is that you feel something or something triggers you. You sense the feeling and you start to think about it, about being unconditional about it. What if, when something triggers you, you sense the feeling, you simply take a breath and breathe into that, like fully. Like it could be fear, it could be rage, it could be anything. And you just breathe right into it, right? And then after a breath, which can happen in a split second, then you just imagine kind of that awareness of you from behind you. You get to that space. And that's the once you're there, then you take action. Then the next step is from there. Okay? Because that part of you doesn't wander. That part of you doesn't lose connection. So the trigger comes in, the feeling is created. You just let it move through you. Like I said, there was some book that I was reading and I can't remember what it is, but the guy said it so plainly. He's like, you will suffer in life to the extent that you are not able to allow life to fully move through you. Where there is resistance to what is, there will be suffering. So just let the feeling go. Reorient yourself to that bigger awareness that you're capable of connecting to, and then move from there. And I think that's kind of the habit to practice. All right, next. I find it very difficult to take important decisions. Rarely seems to be a clear path. Any suggestions? So I'll pull from my personal experience first and then kind of zoom out. The times in my life where I've found it difficult to make decisions, were really because I was at some level not okay with making the decision I wanted to make. Either I was thinking about what others would think or how it impacted this person or this opinion or be perceived by X. Because like I said, if there's one thing I believe about how we are wired to operate, it is that we are wired to pursue our own self-interest almost exclusively. That can be a very quote-unquote twisted situation, right? Someone who arranges their life to constantly be in the middle of one drama after another, right? You might not say that that's in someone's best self-interest, but if that's the kind of feeling we're addicted to, then that's what we want. And that's what we will create. And so the first thing I would recommend is to probably take more time away from decisions. For me, the only thing that has brought me answers is to stop trying to answer things and to allow the space for the answers to come. So, and this is like the last thing that anybody who really wants to figure this stuff out would want to do, which would be to park yourself for 15 minutes somewhere and pay attention to your breathing and not try to solve any problem or answer any question. And my hunch is that if you do that enough days in a row, answers will come. And I don't know why it works that way. I believe it might work that way because it's about the only way that we can shortcut or short circuit what is an extremely well-trained monkey mind. So Nigel, I would suggest that. You did touch a bit on customized affirmations on session two. Could you tell me more about what you mean there? Could you wrap up a bit on it? Customized affirmations. Well, we mentioned like the talking in the mirror thing. We mentioned with your mental movie, it's not really wishful thinking. You're not going to wake up and say, I am abundant and good things flow to me. I mean, you can say that if you want. I don't care. That has never done much of anything for me. In fact, I can kind of see myself laughing at myself, thinking of doing that. I've chosen to go the exact opposite direction, which is to take a look at my life, and maybe at the moment that life was exhibiting the exact opposite of every abundant thing I could think of, and to say, I own this. This is me. This is what I got. Now what? How best can I help people? The mental movie to me is not the wishful thinking. The mental movie is my deliberate practice of painting my world with no emotional attachment, and then to forget about it and let the magic of the universe, or however this thing is put together, whoever is out there, or whatever, however it works, to just do it. It happens. And you don't need to see that work out too many times before you learn to trust it. Okay. Oh, I got it. As background to my question, the feeling is fear of risk of losing something by making the wrong decision. Time passes, the opportunity. Yeah, see, I think that to me is screaming for you to stand up and say, I own this. It may be wrong. To me, that is someone who still has opportunity to fully own whatever decision it is you make. Is it going to be a surprise to the world that you might mess up, that you're capable of mistakes? No. No one will be surprised by that. And yet, we don't really want to accept that fully. Some part of us just can't stand that, right? And so we hedge our bets and maybe just like own it. Just own it. The best decision I can make at the moment is this one. Here's where I go. I am willing to deal with the consequences, period. That to me is like, that's the feeling of freedom to me. To fully own something is the only way to experience freedom, in my experience. All right, let's see. One more question, Bashal here. Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me?
I mean, my clarification on the affirmation question, what I wanted to ask is, you know, you said that affirmations can be helpful and cannot. I mean, my experience is like when I was studying a lot of Tony Robbins and I got a tremendous amount of help from him.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to say, you know, I like myself. And it helped in the beginning, but later on, I realized I was just fooling myself. So, like, if I really need to affirm, I mean, is it I affirm my truth? And by affirmation, I don't mean just telling myself over and over again. Is it like, how have you used verbal affirmations to really empower yourself? I mean, that was my question more specifically.
Okay. I guess you could say that I do use affirmations, but I kind of only use one or two. And the most popular one for me is, I am okay with this. Again, it is for me, the answer has been radical acceptance of what is, and zero energy, except in strategic, like mental movie situations where it's not loaded with a feeling of want or longing, or it should be, right? The mental movie is not that, but radical acceptance of what is, and moving from there. And like, that's a feeling. And so I do remind myself on a regular basis to come back to that. And that's my out loud affirmation. At the end of the day, however, this goes back to really what I think the point is that if you refuse to betray your inner voice, you will win. Period. We are not all here to be like each other. We are all here to be the fullest expression of each individual person. And so to own that, I think, is the secret. To own that journey, to own those decisions, the consequences that come because of those decisions, you will end up light years apart from anybody else because it's your journey, but it will be okay. So on one level, it's extremely simple. All right. Anything else? Questions going once or twice. All right. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you all again for being involved with this. I hope that these, you know, what are really the fruits of my experience, learning, study, and the great opportunities that I've had for great teachers to come through my world. I hope you find them of value and to be helpful. At the end of the day, you're here for your path, and I wish you the best walking it. I wish you the best learning the lessons that you're here to learn, and I wish you the best figuring out how best to take what you've been given and use it to serve other people, because that, to me, is what makes this life worth living.